Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Burlington voters will decide on town meeting day if they want to bring an election process known as ranked choice voting back to be used in future city elections. When this system was used previously, it was known as instant runoff voting, or IRV. Backers of the plan say it's needed to ensure that a candidate receives a majority of votes in an election. But opponents say it distorts the electoral process and is basically a way for smaller political parties to take advantage of the election system. Well, today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look at both sides of this issue. Joining us are Paul Burns, who is the executive director of VPIRG, a group strongly backing the ranked choice voting plan, and former Burlington City Council member and former Burlington representative Kurt Wright, who now co-hosts the Morning Drive radio program on WVMT. Paul and Kurt, great to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, let's start off with an attempt at a definition of ranked choice voting so we all have a better understanding of what we're talking about today. First of all, and I think this is very important, it's only used if no candidate receives 50% of the vote. So if a candidate receives, let's say, 53% of the vote, then this system is not used and that person is declared the winner. So importantly, this system only kicks in when no candidate does not get a majority of votes cast. Now, when a person fills out their ballot, they have the opportunity to rank the candidates by choice, 1, 2, 3, and so on. If you want to select just one candidate, that's fine, but you do have the option of indicating your support for other candidates if your first choice doesn't make it to the final round. So if your vote cannot help your top choice win, your vote counts for your next choice, and this process continues until there's a majority winner, a candidate who wins 50% plus one of the votes. Paul, do I have it pretty close?
You do, Bob. Nice job.
All right. Paul, why is this a good idea?
Well, first, let me say again, thanks for taking this up. It is a really important idea, especially for Burlington voters, as they will be voting on this on town meeting day. This will be question 4 on the ballot, so we're encouraging people to vote yes on 4. But I also want to say hello to Kurt. Kurt Wright is a person who was elected both to the legislature and the city council and headed the city council, somebody that I have known and worked with for a long time, and I have a lot of respect for him, even though we disagree on this particular issue. So nice to be with you, Kurt. Bob, I think the reason why this is coming up now is that we're seeing a lot of folks who are pretty frustrated, even disillusioned with the way elections are run today. They see people who are elected who don't have the support of a majority of voters. They often don't see people who are running who look or sound like them. They feel like they might have options of who to vote for, but not real choices. And they hear a lot of negativity and personal attacks in campaigns when what they really want to hear are clear policy distinctions. Now, no one policy can make everybody happy. But ranked choice voting is a simple idea that does address each of these problems with the current system. It gives us a winner who has the support of a majority of voters. It eliminates the so-called spoiler effect, which is when people worry that by voting for the candidate that they really like, they may end up throwing that vote away if that candidate turns out not to be viable, and then helping to elect their least favorite candidate in a race. It encourages more diverse candidates to run for office. We've seen that many examples of that across the country where more women and more people of color are elected to office. And it discourages negative campaigning and personal attacks because you have to appeal to people who are beyond your own base of supporters. And then finally, it can increase participation and save money, too. For example, under current Vermont law, if no candidate gets 40% of the vote, then a separate runoff election must be held. That means more money, more time, and ultimately fewer voters, because in a runoff election, inevitably fewer people come back to vote there. So none of that is necessary in ranked choice voting. It addresses each of these problems. We think it may not be perfect. It may not make everybody happy. But, you know, two-thirds of the voters currently enrolled in Burlington today were not registered voters 10 years ago. So only one-third, another way of putting it, only one-third of the current voter base in Burlington was around living where they are currently living and voting in 2010. So you've got a lot of new voters there who are seeing these problems and who I think would like to see them solved through a system like ranked choice voting.
So, Paul, it sounds what's important to you, one of the most important things, is that the winning candidate receives a majority of votes. And that's an important principle in ranked choice voting. And I'm wondering, what's the magic of the majority vote? If we look back at the presidents of the United States, we would see that Abraham Lincoln comes to mind. He got 39% of the vote in a race where there were several candidates. So why is a majority so important?
Well, it doesn't mean that if you run in a system that is just a straight plurality winner system, it doesn't mean that the person who gets the most votes when there are many candidates will necessarily be bad when they take office. That same person, my guess is Abe Lincoln probably would have won had they used ranked choice voting in that race. But under a democracy, one of the fundamental beliefs, I think, that most people have about a democracy is that it is electing the person who has the support of most voters. If we have a system where 60% of voters who turn out in an election vote against a single candidate, and that candidate ends up winning, then that's not healthy for democracy. And ranked choice voting is just a way that we can avoid that situation. That would be possible, for instance, some candidates could only get 40%. Maybe their base just doesn't go beyond that. People thought of President Trump in that way. He appealed only to his base, right, for 4 or 5 years, never went outside them, attacked anybody who disagreed with him. And he believed that just having that base turn out with a really strong support from them would be enough to get him reelected. But a candidate like that would probably never win under ranked choice voting because they are doing nothing to appeal outside of that base. And that's where I think this system really makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Kurt, Paul argues it's really important for the winning candidate to receive the support of a majority of voters. Does he have a point?
Well, first of all, let me also say, Paul, thank you for the kind words. And likewise, although we disagree on this issue, I have always respected Paul as well. So let me start there. Now, we need to look no further than Burlington when we look at some of these issues. We had the experience just over a decade ago, and it was repealed, as you mentioned, the very next year. Now, it was sold as an exciting new system. It was going to increase voter turnout. It was going to do away with negative campaigning, do away with the spoiler effect, and so on. But what was the actual reality? It did not do away with negative campaigning. We saw attacks back and forth between Jonathan Leopold, the Kiss administration, to Andy Montreal. It did not do away with negative campaigning at all. Did it increase voter turnout? This exciting new voting system that was called? No, it did not. We had higher turnout in other elections right around that same period of time. What it did do was it eroded voter confidence in the system. When Paul talks about voter confidence now, that's what happened in 2009 with that system. What it also did was it created it did not do away with negative campaigning, and what it did do was something that we should not want. It created a thing where candidates, yes, because they felt they had to appeal to second and third place voters of other candidates, it didn't do away with negative campaign. What it did do away with was people being willing to take strong stands on positions. And we should want candidates to take significant, strong stands on issues and not create what I saw firsthand in Burlington, which was vanilla-type, homogenous campaigns. And we should not be looking for to strive to the candidate who least offends anybody because they don't take any strong stands. That's what we saw on the ground in Burlington. It failed on so many fronts because it also failed on the winner, when you actually looked at it, did not get 50% at the end because of exhausted ballots. And second, the person that got the most first-place votes did not win. The person that got the most first and second-place votes did not win either. So IRV in Burlington was repealed because it failed what the rhetoric and the promises that so many people made about it. It didn't deliver on any of those fronts.
And, Kurt, we're going to take a look at that 2009 race in some detail in just a moment. But what about Paul's argument that it eliminates the spoiler effect?
Well, we didn't see that either, because I had many people telling me, you know, that they were strategically voting. Like, if they wanted me to win, whichever candidate they wanted to win, they were figuring out which candidate would least hurt them, hurt their candidate if they voted for someone else.
Well, let's take a look at that race in 2009 that Kurt was talking about, because it does serve as a pretty good example of how ranked choice voting works. In 2009, there were four strong candidates for mayor of Burlington: Republican Kurt Wright, Progressive Bob Kiss, Democrat Andy Montrall, and Independent Dan Smith. And here were the results after the initial round of voting. Kurt Wright, first place, 33%. Bob Kiss, second place, 29%. Andy Montrall received 23% in third place. Dan Smith got 15% in fourth place. So under the system, Independent Dan Smith is eliminated, and his second choices are now tabulated and added to these candidates. And it turns out that the Dan Smith votes are spread out pretty evenly among the other three candidates. And remember, if a person voted for Dan Smith, they could choose a second choice candidate or they could not. That's their choice. Most of them did choose a second choice candidate. And after that second round of voting, first place, Kurt Wright with 37%. Bob Kiss in second place with 33%. And Andy Montrall in third place with 29%. So no candidate has a majority of votes. So we go through this process one more time. Andy Montrall is eliminated, and we tally up his second place votes. And when that is done, it turns out that the Andy Montrall voters support Bob Kiss by about a 2-to-1 margin, and in the end, he is declared the winner with a majority of votes. Paul, do you think that the 2009 race shows the benefits of ranked choice voting?
Well, I think that showed how the system works. Yeah, when you have three, or in this case four, you know, very credible, strong candidates running, people, I think, are benefited by knowing that if I vote for the candidate I most want to see elected, I don't have to give a thought or a worry that I might be helping to elect a candidate I least want to see elected, because I get to rank them. That's a wonderful choice to be able to provide to voters. As you said, Bob, they don't have to take advantage of that opportunity, but clearly the vast majority of them chose to do it. And I think we must avoid, you know, we don't want to confuse disappointment over the results of a particular election with any sort of legitimate complaint over the voting system itself. I have spoken to Democrats and Republicans in Burlington who were upset with the outcome of 2009, particularly as time went on and we recognized that the Kiss administration had some really serious problems and people had legitimate concerns over the administration and a number of things that happened then. But this isn't about the Kiss administration. You know, I fear that what really happened in 2010 was that a lot of people were upset with the outcome of the 2009 race and decided to take it out on the system that allowed Mayor Kiss to be reelected at that time. And that, I think, you know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. And as I say, 2/3 of current voters were not around in 2010. So it's ancient history to a lot of folks.
So, Kurt, we just went through the details of the 2009 race. Why was that not fair?
Oh, I'm not saying that it wasn't fair. And I, you know, it's not about me, and by any means, I was not a fan of IRV before that election. But it's a system that we had to deal with. But I reiterate that it didn't deliver. It didn't deliver the person that got the most first and second place. The person that got the most first-place votes didn't win, and first-place votes should always count for the most. The person that got the most first- and second-place votes did not win either. It did not do away with negative campaigning. It did not increase voter turnout. It did not increase voter participation. It did cause confusion, and it did erode confidence in the system, in the voting system. And those are all bad things. And it did create, as I already mentioned, it created campaigns where there was kind of a mush to the middle. Now, we don't want extreme candidates to win, but there wasn't an extreme candidate in that field. Nobody, I don't think anybody considers me to be an extreme Republican. I'm a pretty centrist Republican. But it does create a mush to the middle. And what you want is people taking strong, vigorous stands and let the voters decide after they hear everybody take the strong stands, not people taking wishy-washy stands because they're afraid to say something strong on an issue because it might offend the second place, another candidate's voters. I theorize that I got the most first place votes because I didn't play that game. I took strong stands, and that's why I got the most first place votes. I think that people are also in IRV are voting somewhat in the dark because you don't know if you had a real runoff, which Burlington does have if nobody achieves 40%. And I don't worry so much about 50%. It's great if you can get that. But when we have multi-candidate fields, let me just say, Bob, that you mentioned Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you could throw in John Kennedy, who got 49.7%. You could throw in Bill Clinton, and you could throw in a lot of presidents if we'd had this system in place. And we don't know how those would have turned out. But let's use another famous race in Burlington. Under the current system that we have now, the 40% threshold, our own Bernie Sanders didn't get 50%, but in a multi-candidate field with former Mayor Gordy Paquette, the great, late, great Gordy Paquette, and Dick Bove, owner of Bove's restaurant at the time, very well known, three major candidates, Bernie Sanders managed to galvanize enough first-place votes to win that race with 43% and went on to have, obviously, a rock star career, whether you like Bernie or not. To his credit, he did. And under this, you know, if it was good enough for Bernie Sanders to have a career like that, I think it works pretty well. And if IRV had been in place, we don't know what would have happened.
Today on the program, we're looking at ranked choice voting. It's a charter change in Burlington on town meeting day. What are your thoughts about this? Let's start with Iris, who's calling from Essex. Hi, Iris. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having my call. I'm really excited to support ranked choice voting for a ton of the reasons that Paul's already mentioned, but also because it lowers the barrier of entry for candidates and winners from historically underrepresented communities, such as BIPOC women. And as a young woman who doesn't have a lot of faces like mine in local politics, I'm super excited to see Burlington vote yes on 4 as an important step to making our democracy more representative.
So, Iris, you think that this charter change will encourage more people to run for office?
Yeah, and I think it'll also lower the barrier of entry for candidates and allow them to win more often for BIPOC women.
Iris, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's turn to Cecilia in Burlington. Hi, Cecilia. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I'd like to show my strong support for ranked choice voting, specifically as you guys have discussed before, the spoiler effect. I just wanted to point to the last Burlington election where the progressive vote was split among two candidates, but the majority of Burlingtons were using their voice to vote against the current mayor, and that should be respected.
And Cecilia, will you be supporting then this charter change in March?
Yes, I will.
All right. Thanks very much for your phone call. Let's talk to Robert, who is calling from Burlington. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello. So I was there in 2009, and I remember how this went, and there was a lot of misinformation. A lot of people thought that Kurt was robbed from the election, but it was really Andy who was robbed. So, in fact, 4,064 of us marked our ballots that we preferred Andy Montrell over Bob Kiss. 3,476 of us marked our ballots that we thought that Kiss was better than Montrell. That's a 588 majority for Andy Montrell, and he was not elected. It did not elect the majority candidate, not even a plurality candidate. KISS was the minority. Paul said that it prevents the spoiler effect. That is a falsehood. There were 1,510 right voters that marked their ballots that Montreal was their second choice, and had only 371 of them or more, one out of four of them, if they had understood that Kurt wasn't going to win and insincerely marked their ballot tactically, bumping Montreal up, Montreal would have gone into the final round with Bob KISS and would have defeated Bob KISS by 588 votes. It did not deliver on vote your hopes, not your fears, because those people that voted for Kurt as their first choice and Mark Andy as their second choice, had they voted their fears, they would have had a better outcome in the election. And in fact, those persons were robbed of their contingency vote. We were saying that if you don't get your first choice, you know, vote for your first choice, and if your first choice doesn't count, then your second choice will count. For those 1,510 voters that voted for Kurt first and Andy second, their second choices never counted.
Okay, so Robert, you've given us a lot of information to work with. Paul Burns, I want to sort of state this case that Robert is making to you, and that is, if you counted up the if Montreal ran against Kurt Wright and the second place votes were counted, he would have defeated Kurt Wright, and if he had been in the final round against Bob KISS, the election results show he would have defeated Bob KISS. So if the goal is to elect a candidate who gets a majority of vote, how does it work that a candidate who got eliminated in third place is actually the person who was seemingly the strongest candidate?
Well, he wasn't the strongest candidate. I mean, this is an unusual argument that Robert is making, that the person who came in third place in the first round of voting and third place in the second round of voting is the person who should have become mayor of the city of Burlington. There are very few people who think that that argument is valid. I am not one. We don't run races as we do sports playoffs, where you get to go against one person in the quarterfinals and then a second person in the semifinals, and then, you know, you're finally doing against one other person in the finals. That's just, you know, no place uses that kind of voting. It is kind of an academic argument that some folks make, but nowhere in the world that I know of uses that system. Whereas ranked choice voting is used in many, many places around this country. 9 million Americans use ranked choice voting today. Every voter in Ireland and Australia and New Zealand, and, you know, I could go on down the list, use this system of voting because it works. It is fair. It is easy to understand. There are vanishingly few places that have ever gotten rid of it, but Burlington happens to be one. And again, I think that's because there were people who are both Democratic and Republican voters who were upset about the outcome of the 2009 race and saw the best way to get revenge was to repeal this in 2010. But the system works, and I think it worked in 2010, and it works every election, you know, that is held around the country where it is used. In fact, the voters of Portland, Maine, just voted 81% in November in favor of extending ranked choice voting to all of their city races after using it successfully for mayor there. So, you know, people who use it do find that it works well. I understand that, you know, it was repealed in Burlington, but I think there were very, very special circumstances that made that happen.
If I can comment on that too, Bob, I will agree with Robert and disagree with him, which means the same thing for Paul. I think Robert does point out one of the fallacies of the system, though, in that all of, you know, you really don't get the result that they claim you get. You don't come out with this broad-based winner because Andy Montreal's second-place votes don't get considered. I mean, I think he's right about that. I think that is one of the fallacies of the IRV ranked choice voting systems. However, on the same token, I do agree with Paul and disagree with Robert that Robert would like to create a more convoluted system, because IRV ranked choice voting is a convoluted system. And he would like a more convoluted system where a third, maybe even a fourth place candidate could win and become mayor or whatever the office is. If you had a 6-7 candidate field, maybe the fourth place person wins. Andy Montreal only received 23% first place votes, which had him significantly behind both myself and Bob Kiss. First place votes are still what should be the most important votes. And by the way, just one side note of interest. In the very same year that that election happened, 2009 in Burlington, in Rutland, Chris Lewis, we had this joke between us that Chris Lewis, I saw him after, and I said, geez, Chris, you got the same percentage vote as I did, and you got elected. And he said, no, I got 1% less than you did, and I got elected. He obviously went on to serve, I think, probably four terms as mayor of Rutland. So the voters of Rutland, at least for those four terms, thought that it worked pretty well without IRV.
Paul, I'm wondering, is any of the municipalities or states that use or countries that use ranked choice voting, do any of them set up some sort of point system so that whoever comes in first, let's say if there are five candidates, gets 5 points, and if a candidate comes in second, they're four, and then you just add up all the points and say, well, here's the person who was favored by the most number of people?
Bob, I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you, you know, in the research that I've done, and if anybody, you can go on the internet and find literally dozens of different ways of figuring out how to structure a vote. I've seen that reference. I'm not familiar with any place that is actually using that system. So Kurt seems to be in favor of that, or Kurt seems to be in favor of allowing somebody to win with even just, you know, 33% of the vote. I just think...
No, that's not what I said.
Well, that's what you had in the first round, something I may not be...
No, I would want a real runoff, like the system we have now with 40%.
Right, but that's what you were saying, Chris Lewis.
No, I was pointing out an example, Paul, but I'm not saying that's what I advocate for. I advocate for the system we have now, which is a real runoff if you don't clear the threshold floor of 40%. That worked well, and it worked well enough for Bernie Sanders to win.
Yeah, but some places do just allow a plurality winner regardless of what percentage that person gets. So whether it's 33 or 40%, you might still have a majority, you by definition still have a majority of the electorate who preferred other candidates. And so, you know, we can have a system through ranked choice voting to determine who that second choice is of people who, you know, who didn't support a viable candidate in the first round. So, I just think, this is a perfect example of what I said at the beginning. No one system is going to make everybody happy. But ranked choice voting is a way of dealing with some of the significant problems that we see with the current system that we have without going to a system that really is complicated and is not used anywhere in the world, like what caller Robert was suggesting. So there are very few people that would want to do what Robert wants. Some people want to do what Kurt suggests, but, you know, we have that system in place. Let's give voters a chance to see if they want to improve upon that system with ranked choice voting. And I'm confident and hopeful that we will get there. And I'm really happy that we've got such diverse support for this. I mean, we just launched this campaign last week with former Governor Howard Dean as co-chair, along with Councillor Zariah Hightower. Hightower being a progressive, Dean being a Democrat. We list a large number of endorsers on the BetterBallotBurlington.org website that people can see. You know, lots of diverse support for this.
And
Paul, you mentioned. Let me just interrupt you for a second, Kurt, because I want to follow up with Paul on this idea of Kurt's saying we ought to have a real runoff election. And Paul, you said, well, that's not a great idea because we see that fewer people turn out for runoff elections that happen several weeks or a month later. But wouldn't the recent example of the two Senate races in Georgia show us that that's not necessarily true, that turnout can actually be quite vibrant?
Well, when you have the outcome of the United States Senate, control of the U.S. Senate in the balance at a time like this, you bet. That drove turnout like probably nothing else. But we also have decades of experience in various places that have runoff elections, and we know that in general, you don't see a turnout even approaching what the turnout is for the main race, you know, for the town meeting day or general election race in a runoff. Plus, you have all of the added expense, and it does delay timing, which can be an important factor as well. But to me, the important thing there is that fewer people participate in runoff elections generally. Again, Georgia perhaps being an exception to that, but fewer people generally are going to participate. And you do have a lot of added expense there, and there's no reason for it if you have an alternative like ranked choice voting.
Paul?
Kurt, I interrupted you. What did you want to say?
Well, I would like to respond. First of all, you're right about Georgia, but it's not just because it was Georgia. You know what else it's because of? Because of all mail-in voting. And I'm sure Paul supports that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so there you go. And if you have all mail-in voting, we haven't had that before when there's been runoff elections. If you have a runoff election where everybody gets mailed a ballot back again, you're going to have much, much higher turnout. And people are going to be voting. You're going to get to take another look at the candidates. It is a much better process to have another real election, not some election that's theoretical on a piece of paper that's an instant runoff voting, where people are actually voting in the dark. They don't know what the results are going to be. They now know who the two candidates are when they vote in a real runoff, and they get to take another look at the two candidates now head-to-head. As far as minority candidates, I'm glad Paul pointed out that Zariah Hightower was part of this press conference with Howard Dean. Zariah Hightower won as a minority candidate in the system that we have now. So did Ollie Jang. We're doing very well. 1/6 of the city council is represented by minorities. So Howard Dean, again, as part of his mantra to support this, was just faulty. He said that the biggest thing is it will do away with negative campaigning. That's been proven to not be true. What it did do was it created this unfortunate campaign where three of the four candidates didn't take strong stands, and that's why they didn't get as many first place votes. Paul's right about one thing. There is no perfect system. There is no system that's going to satisfy everybody. The current system is not perfect either, but I do believe the system that's being proposed, ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting, has more flaws in it than the current system does for a variety of reasons.
Let's turn to our callers and talk to Betty, who's calling from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Betty. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. So I'm a member of the League of Women Voters. We're celebrating our 100th year. We just finished and unfortunately could not have parades and rallies and parties, et cetera. But this would be a great birthday present to have the Better Ballot Burlington pass this year. I did want to comment that it's very important that voters get the education about how to use a slightly different ballot. It's not that it's hard to use, but it's different, and people are not used to it. So the reason that it was so successful in Maine is that there was so much voter education and so much opportunity to practice in advance, and the Secretary of State's website was very clear on if you mark it this way or that way, how will we count your vote to make sure we're trying to get at what the voter's intent was. So they really did a really bang-up job on that. And the reason they did was because Governor LePage was so unpopular that there were thousands of people volunteering to go out and do that teaching. And we've had, good representatives and mayors and council people and all. So we don't have that kind of, anger and anxiety about it. So we don't have as many voters likely to be going out to volunteer. So I'm asking people to contact VPIRG, contact League of Women Voters, contact organizations that are doing teachings around this and volunteer or try to set up a Zoom meeting or whatever to have people come and hear about it so that they can understand it better. So it will be more successful and be more sustainable. There wasn't enough time to see the drop in negative campaigning. There wasn't enough time to see so many of the benefits because it was one cycle. People didn't have time to get used to the idea of, oh, yeah, we don't tactical vote here. We just vote how we honestly feel, and we'll get the results we want. Thank you.
Betty, thanks very much for your phone call. Right now, we're going to go up to Maine because the state of Maine is using ranked choice voting. And we're going to talk with Steve Missler, who is the chief political correspondent for Maine Public Radio, to learn a little bit more about Maine's experience with this system. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Bob.
So, Steve, maybe a little background. How long has Maine used this system, and is it used for both state and federal elections?
Yes, it is. But to your former question, it was passed by voters in 2016 by ballot initiative, and it was originally designed to. I think the impetus for it was the governor's race. In fact, in 2010, former Governor Paula Page, a Republican, narrowly won his first term. In the plurality system, and a big reason for that, as some people believe, is that because there were multiple candidates in that race, and in Maine we have a strong independent streak among voters here. We have a lot of unenrolled. In fact, they unenrolled voters outnumber people who are affiliated with the parties. And so what happened over the years was that if there was an independent candidate who was sort of center left, and there was a Democrat, the Democrat and the center left candidate would end up splitting the vote, and that's exactly what happened in 2010. And we ended up with Governor Paula Page, who was really he had won with something like 37% of the vote, and you know he was a very controversial figure, and that really was the impetus for the Citizens Initiative that passed in 2016. Ironically, the whole impetus was eventually sort of moot because our state law court ruled that we couldn't use ranked choice voting in gubernatorial races or legislative contests, at least in the general election, because it was barred by our Constitution, which required a plurality vote. Those elections be decided by plurality or first past the post. So we do use it, though, in congressional contests. We also used it in the presidential race, although it wasn't really wasn't utilized because none of the third-party candidates garnered enough support. But it was used in a high-profile U.S. Senate race, which was very, very expensive. The very first time it was used it was in 2018 when the Democrat, Jerry Golden, unseated Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin. And in that result, really, you know, ranked choice voting was sort of a bipartisan. People looked at it kind of curiously. They weren't sure what to think of it. But after that result in the 2018 congressional contest, it really hardened Republicans to oppose it because they thought that Bruce Poliquin, who actually led after the initial count but didn't achieve that majority threshold to avert a runoff, he ended up losing in the runoff. And so they really felt like, you know, they got the short end of the stick out of ranked choice voting. And so they've been very hardened against it and have tried to repeal it with no success because they just don't have the numbers in the Maine legislature.
Steve, we just had a caller in Vermont talk about the importance of educating voters about this system. Do you think the voters in Maine, was there a large education process? And do you think most voters have a pretty good idea of how this system works now?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I did hear the caller say that there was a pretty robust public education campaign, and I would agree with that. There was. Our Secretary of State, our former Secretary of State, really went out the first time it was used in 2018, and he basically was doing a roadshow where he would go to various towns and have these demonstrations about how it's used. And there was also a lot of work between the state and our town clerks to get them educated on how to use it. And I think by and large, people do not find it very confusing. They may question whether some of the claims that the advocates of the system have made, you know, that there would be less negative campaigning. I mean, that just has not come to fruition. Certainly the spoiler effect, you know, to be continued. We haven't really seen an example of a very close race where, you know, the spoiler effect was sort of, was nullified, if you will. But I think by and large, I think Maine voters get it. And part of that is also because, you know, our largest city, Portland, adopted the ranked choice voting in its mayoral contests in 2010 and used it for the first time in 2011. And I think one of your guests also pointed out that the city also adopted expanding that voting system to city council races, too. So it's very popular in Portland. I wouldn't say that it's super popular in the state of Maine, but people don't seem to have a big problem with it either, unless you happen to be Republican.
And Steve, you mentioned that court challenge and that at least for the statewide races, it was found to be unconstitutional because the Maine Constitution calls for a plurality winner. Is there an effort to pass a constitutional amendment to change that?
Yes, but that effort has been complicated by the fact that while Democrats are advocates for ranked choice voting, they don't have a supermajority in the legislature, and they haven't had one for the past several years. They've had majorities, but not a supermajority. And with Republicans so hardened against the system, they have been unable to get crossover votes from the GOP to get that supermajority threshold that would be needed to pass a constitutional amendment, which would then have to go to voters for final ratification.
Steve Missler is the chief political correspondent at Maine Public Radio. Steve, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Bob.
So let's talk to Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, my question was, does ranked choice voting have more diverse outcomes for elections in other municipalities or other states that have adopted it?
And exactly what do you mean, Tom?
I've heard that ranked choice lowers the barrier for entry for those people who would like to run for office. So I was wondering, has that actually led to more people in other municipalities and states having office holders that are from more diverse backgrounds, maybe not necessarily from the party structures, mm-hmm. Or more likely to be people of color or other folks in the community that are considered minorities.
Right. Tom, thank you for clarifying that. Paul Burns, what would you say?
Well, there are indications in the places where it is being used, the municipalities as an example, that it results in a higher percentage of women and Black and Indigenous people of color being elected. For instance, I think nationally about 22% of mayors are women currently, but in the 23 or so municipalities that use ranked choice voting for mayoral elections, 11 of them have women as mayors. So, you know, you're seeing a much nearly 50% there. So, and then again, there are other studies. I don't have all of the figures right in front of me, but definitely appears to be linked to both a more diverse candidate pool, and that too allows for more diverse candidates to ultimately be elected.
And if I can comment on that also, Bob, the reality is we don't have an issue with that in Burlington. There's no barriers to anybody running in Burlington. It has not been an issue. Minority candidates have been running more and more and have been getting elected. 1/6 of the city council is minority. Women are getting elected in Burlington. We had just recently, there was half the city council were women. And, of course, in the whole state of Vermont, if you talked about expanding it to Vermont, almost every leadership position in the state of Vermont is by a woman, which is great. So we don't have those issues, and we don't need to create a new voting system to try to make that.
Well, with respect, Kurt, I don't think either you or I, as white men, are probably the best to comment on whether we have any problem with it or not. Certainly, Councillor Hightower suggested that, I believe as the first woman, Black woman councillor, that we have more progress that can and should be made there. But I feel like I'm not the best one to suggest
I'm not going to say my opinion on that because I'm white, because the data just tells you that. There are people getting elected here that are minorities, as it is. I mean, Councillor Hightower also takes a position on police, on cutting police with no study or evaluation. I disagree with her on that, too.
Pointing to a single person or two people of color who get elected to office, I'm sorry, does not mean that we have solved the problem of insufficient representation for people of color.
Well,
let's go back to our callers and see if we can get a quick call in from Kathleen in Marshfield. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
I
absolutely think that probably it's not going to have much effect on negative campaigning and maybe not much on voter turnout. But I think our current system has proven to be so broken that we simply cannot feel free to vote for somebody we think would be the best candidate, that whatever tweaks might be needed to make ranked choice voting perfect or more perfect, there isn't any perfect system, is minor. I mean, right now we have a system that is proven to not work. And I think one of the arguments is that, you know, the strong statements thing, I think that's a really bad idea. Trump showed us what people who want to make very strong statements and appeal to a rather limited base can get away with in this country. I think the idea that we have to have candidates who believe in consensus building is a really good idea. And that would be my most important point.
All right, Kathleen, we really appreciate your phone call. We're just running out of time. This has been an important discussion about an issue that Burlington voters will consider coming up on town meeting day. If it is approved, it will then have to go to the legislature because it is a charter change, and the legislature has to approve of all charter changes at the local level. So that would be an interesting twist to this as well. Paul, we're almost out of time, but if it gets approved, do you think it will be successful at the State House?
I think so. I think it needs a strong vote. And I just want to remind folks, in case it wasn't clear, that this only applies to council races. It doesn't apply to the mayoral race. That's the way the question is written. But I think if we get a good, strong vote in Burlington, that the legislature will be open to passing it so that it can be in effect for the 2022 race. So, yes on question four.
And Bob,
all right.
No on question four. It didn't achieve what it promised to achieve back then. And I'd like to know what somebody thinks, how Vermont's voting system is so broken, which reason. And don't use Donald Trump as an example. He's a terrible example. We do want candidates taking strong stands on issues, vigorous stands, not divisive ones, but strong ones.
All right. Many thanks to our guests today. Great discussion. Kurt Wright and Paul Burns, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Bob and Kurt.